Good morning, I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Matthew Goldman, the founder and CEO of Vertical Finance. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning. How are you? I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, and you know, to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Absolutely. So I've been in the startup space for a long time, started working at tech companies in high school on the engineering side, but found my way into product and into doing payments technologies and financial services technologies about 15 years ago at a company called Green Dot, which is now a public company. Spent a few years there, took a detour through some online advertising at AT&T, and then got back to my entrepreneurial roots, started a company called Lee Financial in 2012, which helped consumers to maximize their rewards, understand how to manage their credit cards, sold that company to Bankrate, and was chief product officer there for a few years. And then recently started my current company, Vertical Finance, which is building cards for communities.
Very cool. And I have a feeling Grand Reserve has something to do with it. So tell us what Vertical Finance is all about, who your typical customer is, and who you reach out to.
Yeah, absolutely. So for Vertical Finance, we do two things. We are building our own card programs, the first of which is Grand Reserve, which is a rewards credit card for people who love wine. So we found that a lot of people have airline miles they can't figure out how to use, or they have enough, or they don't want to travel, but they want something else out of their reward program. And people have a lot of different passions in life, right? Some people love to fish, some people love to golf, some people love to go bicycling, some people love wine. So we're starting to build cards around these passions that are not necessarily specific to a single brand, but more to an area of interest. And so Grand Reserve is a rewards card for people who love wine. You earn up to 7 points per dollar at our network of winery partners here in the United States, and up to 5 points per dollar at non-partner wineries and wine stores. You can use those points for anything related to wine. Basically, you can buy wine with them. You can buy wine accessories through our rewards catalog, and you can also get great experiences. And then the other part of our business is an API-driven business where we are helping other brands build great rewards programs through our rewards platform, which helps to calculate and manage rewards and make all those cool redemptions and capabilities available to the growing crop of challenger debit and credit cards out there.
Hmm, very interesting. And if I were to use a Grand Reserve card on, let's say, groceries, would that also count towards points towards wineries?
You get points for everything, but the rate of grocery store would be like 2 points per dollar. If you go to a wine store, wine shop, a restaurant or bar, it's 3 to 5 points depending. And then at our partners, 5 to 7. And then we have a bunch of great offers in there as well. Things like spend $500 at a certain winery, earn 5,000 bonus points, things like that. So there's a lot of ways to earn points really fast. And we have some really cool ways to use them. We have this feature with one of our partners called The Vault, where we get a selection of really rare and valuable wines available for really great point values. So like a recent example was a 1997 Harlan Estate for 99,000 points, which is pretty cool. That's a well over $1,000 bottle of wine. Mm. And we have one this month that's an Opus 1 Magnum that we don't even think you can find this bottle in the US. There's someone in Hong Kong with one, and then we've got one. So some of that stuff's pretty cool and a great way to use those points. We try to make it fun and easy to get points. And it's like your first class ticket, right? Like you could spend your points on a bunch of $30 bottles, or you could blow it all at once and get some kind of, you know, wine you probably would never pay cash for and maybe never have a chance to try otherwise.
And that brings up the question, if you get a bottle that's worth $1,000, do you hold it or do you drink it?
Right? I don't know. I haven't had one of those. I think, you know, doing keeping things in your cellar is hard. That's why there's also those wines they call cellar defenders, the things that you love and you can get every day. There's a lot of great values out there. And that's part of what we try to do with our network of partners. We have folks selling $400 Napa cabs, and we have folks selling $20 Temecula Reds, right? And everything in between. And so there's a lot of choice out there, and there's a lot of different good wines to try. But the only wines I've been successfully aging for a long time is the ones I got for when my kids turned 21. So I know not to touch those.
Yes. Yeah. I actually have a case of something I'm waiting for my daughter's wedding. So
perfect.
Which is postponed due to COVID, which brings up the next question. How did COVID affect your business? I mean, from a work standpoint and a customer standpoint.
Yeah, I think there were both positives and negatives. So from a work standpoint, very negative. We're a small startup team. There's five of us, but you know, we purposely built a business where we all live in the same place and could go to an office. We had a co-working facility office, which we had unfortunately just signed a lease on right before everything went out the window last year. And you know, we love being in the office together. I think it's very productive, especially at the early stages. I've done a lot of multi-office, multi-geography, remote work in my career. When I was at Bankrate, I had people working for me, you know, in many different places, and I traveled every other week to see people in different offices. But at a really early stage, I think that physical presence is key, and it just went out the window. We were all close to each other, but unable to see each other, and we're still remote. We've had one socially distanced outdoor in-person meeting, you know, with face masks to talk about things, but it's all Zoom, and I think that's really challenging. From a business perspective, I appreciated not spending on T&E. I appreciated the comfort that so many people have with Zoom now. It's easy to get people on Zoom. It's easy to get a call going, and people don't feel like it's weird or hard, or they don't have it installed or things like that. And I think that for our winery partners, there was a realization that they're going to have to try new things. And that made them more receptive to our pitch about what we're doing. On the flip side, we wanted to do in-person things. We wanted to go talk about the card in a winery tasting. We want to put on events for cardholders in person. And that's but looking forward to coming back out the other side of this soon.
And I mean, I heard rumors that especially when COVID first hit that people were consuming more wine at home. Did you notice an uptick in business from that?
Yeah, well, we definitely know there's more consumption. We actually had not launched the card before COVID started, so we don't have all the data, but we did some surveys and things, and people definitely were buying more. And I think, you know, a lot of delivery, which hurts the margins of the wineries. Shipping wine is very expensive, but definitely people buying more, people being interested in buying from directly from the winery or their local wine store, which is very cool. And we were able to get a ton of people on like virtual tastings. That took off. That was not really a thing, you know, 14 months ago. And now many people have done them. It's been very successful for some wineries. We have a partner that doesn't have a tasting room. And so traditionally they didn't kind of engage in this, and they have done, I don't know what the number is now, a couple of months ago, it was well over 300 virtual tastings. They're getting access to a whole new audience. Some of our partners pivoted to smaller formats, helping, you know, corporate events. So I think that's been really amazing. We are definitely seeing that people are getting sick of it, I would say. I think virtual tastings won't go away. But I do think people want our virtual events a little bit. We were doing two or three a month, and I think there's just not the demand for it. But I think there's definitely a lot more consumption, that's for sure. It was a good time to be a wine store.
Yes, it was. And it's interesting. What do you think would be the future of this? Because now we're both in California. June 15th, supposedly we're going to be 100% open. Do you foresee a lot of people taking advantage of the in-person tasting?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a totally different experience. It's much more efficient. People like to be out there. There's something special, especially in this space of wine. There's something special about being at the winery and being in that environment. It's not just the wine. It's the sense of place. It's being, you know, walking in the vineyard. It's just being out there. And I think people are going to want to do that. I think it's going to be very, very busy. And Napa is very far along from an opening standpoint. You know, most everyone up there is an agricultural worker. They are all getting vaccinated on the earlier side, and they're looking, you know, they're actually all there since they're still capacity limited. They're basically fully booked already. Right. So they're, I think, going to be able to expand into their capacity really aggressively. Although we have also seen a number of smaller wineries close their tasting rooms for last year. They may not have gone, you know, out of business, but some folks felt they couldn't sustain that. And so there's going to be a little bit of reduced capacity for it as well.
Yeah. And I think they will eventually reopen. I think one thing, because I live not too far from Napa, I mean, there's something about going to the winery, and in certain cases, you can talk to the winemaker himself or herself.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is, you know, unique. You don't get that from a remote taste.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like I said, there will be virtual stuff. I think what's been great about virtual stuff, we have cardholders in, you know, most states, and we can all get on a Zoom and people can join, and it doesn't require that you traveled somewhere. And we had one the other week, and there was a group from Pennsylvania. A guy had, you know, brought some folks over to his house, and they all joined in, and it was really fun and everything. So I think we'll still do that, because you can't, if you don't live near Napa, you can't fly there every weekend. Mm-hmm. But I do think that just in general, people want to get out. They want to, you know, go to a bar. They want to go to a restaurant, and everyone's a little sick of staring at their screen.
I agree. But I think you hit on it. I think the thing will be wine tasting parties, where someone in Pennsylvania could do a wine tasting party with, you know, multiple wineries in Napa or Argentina or France or wherever, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think there's a lot of, and there's a couple of startups in the space that have really been growing this kind of bringing a tasting to you, pre-packaging it, selecting it, giving you guidance, or, you know, walking you through it over Zoom. I think that will continue, because it's fun. People want to do these things, and used to be maybe a once a year event if you didn't live near wine country. Now you can enjoy it more frequently.
Right. True. And then, I mean, even think about it, even the Northeast, you know, when it's 10 degrees out and snowing, you could still do a wine tasting party, but, you know, with someone.
Yeah. And, you know, there are wineries of some sort in every state in the union, which is an interesting kind of fact. And, you know, some of them import grapes and some of them make fruit wines. But I think like if you're in New York, I mean, the Finger Lakes and Long Island wineries are going to be just as busy too. So I think there's, you know, people are, when you're a local, you and you love wine, you seek those places out. I think it's, I mean, we have a winery in New Mexico and in Arizona and Michigan and Texas, like, that are partners. And I think it's just really cool that, you know, they're all the place. Now, is it the same wine you're going to get that's grown in Napa? It's not, in different grapes and different styles, but you can still get some of the experience. And some of those wines are really good as well. They're just, you know, if you want a nice Riesling, you should be going to the Finger Lakes, not to Napa. So you're looking for different things.
Yes. Yeah. I actually used to live not too far from the Finger Lakes, and I have had their wines. They are quite good, right?
Yeah. Some very good wines. Yeah.
So what do you think is next for Vertical Finance? Once, you know, this card, what do you think will be your next reserve or, you know, reward?
Yeah. So we haven't announced anything yet. I think we're looking at, you know, definitely some outdoorsy type things. We're doing some testing and surveying now. I think things like golf, fishing, bicycling, you know, real outdoors activities are going to be very, very big over the coming years. And so we're excited about that. And they share a lot of the same things that we like about wine. They're very experiential. You know, there's a lot of small providers who are really valuable, and people are really passionate about them. And that's what we love.
Interestingly, you mentioned two of my favorite things on this podcast. Wine.
Perfect.
And golf. So I'm torn now. Which one do I go with?
Those do go together often, right? Wine and golf. So yes. There's definitely some synergies there, as they say.
Yes. So maybe you can come up with a combined one, golf and wine, right? That they can go.
Well, I think that's definitely part of the long-term vision, is, you know, if we build out the right set of kind of sub cards, then we can let people choose their own adventure. Hey, I want to take these two partner networks and put them together. I love wine and golf. I love biking and camping. You know, I love yoga and, I don't know, knitting. I don't know. There's so many hobbies, there's so many passions. And when you dig in a little bit, you find that there's millions of people enjoying these things, spending millions, tens of millions of dollars. And so we think of them as niches, but they're really quite big. And people who love them deeply. And that's what we want to support.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Thank you.
Good luck with Grand Reserve. If you need any help with the golf one, I'll be a guinea pig.
Thank you.
Good luck and have a great day.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, bye.